So at the beginning of the year, we had ideas about things that we wanted to talk about as women that seemed to come up a lot, or like anxiety seems to be something that's pretty common to us all. The other thing that we've been thinking about, we've been sharing with you, spiritual warfare and spiritual gifts and things like that. Yesterday, I was talking to a man on the phone, and he did the thing that almost everybody does with when they think of the word hospitality. He said, "Oh, this person in my life, they have the gift of hospitality," and said it like it was a fact. So I want to kind of challenge that and talk about that a little bit, and your understanding of hospitality. So we studied a little bit about spiritual gifts in here, and we gave you a booklet, which I hope you go through and work on some. But hospitality is not a gift. It is not a special spiritual gift. It is something that all Christians are supposed to do. And the reason we're all supposed to do hospitality or be hospitable is because hospitality is the thing that is a welcome to a stranger. It's a way to make somebody feel comfortable who's new in your community with the goal that they might know Christ more and be part of your family. So hospitality is a way of life, which is what I gave you on. I gave you a piece of paper on your table, a little book. I would love to be as good as Karen and be able to do my PowerPoint presentations, but I haven't learned how to do that yet. So you have the my crude paper. The reason I gave this paper to you is because there was a class at a church that I found online who did a whole class on hospitality, and I think it deserves a class. And so this is the first page of introduction of his class, which I only have 20 minutes to kind of give you a report. But you could click on if you have internet access, and you could also read his class on hospitality, and it would probably be really helpful to you. So I'm just going to kind of review the first things that he talks about and ask you some questions, and then maybe we can share about hospitality. So I wanted you to think about, in your life, who's the most hospitable person that you can think of? I imagine this wouldn't take terribly long, but can you think of somebody that's hospitable?
These two,
they're hospitable. Mm-hmm. So what makes them hospitable, Celia?
Their warmth and caring and their generosity of spirit.
Okay, their warmth and their caring, their generosity of spirit.
Mm-hmm. And mushroom quiche.
So they cook for you too, so that helps. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's wonderful. Who else is hot? Who else knows somebody that's hospitable? Your table is quiet. You don't know any hospitable. Yes?
I really appreciate Kelly Montalero.
Okay.
She just adopts people on holidays who are strays or not strays. She just puts together a bunch of people and offers a meal, and we have fun together, and it's low-key, and everyone's welcome, and it's just a gathering.
Okay, so Kelly Montalero, because she brings people to her house that don't have family or friends in the neighborhood at holidays and just opens it up and shares with them. What's cool about that, in essence, is that Kelly Montalero is a single mom. So she doesn't have the support of a husband who's going to go around and help her do the things and make the house perfect. She's actually reached out and filled her house with people, making herself a family. The one that I always recognized as really hospitable was Carol Lind, and it was almost for the same reason. It was because she had become a divorced woman. She was always hospitable, actually. That's just part of her nature. But when she became divorced, it became harder, and she had children, and she said, if I don't do this, I'm not going to go anywhere. So she just invited everybody to her house all the time and filled it up. So that's how she created a family for herself, and that's kind of the idea of hospitality. I had this idea that I learned this expression, this Chinese expression, which I thought was really wonderful, but somebody was teaching it to me yesterday, and they said, when you don't understand what's going on, she said the expression is, it's like doves in a thunderstorm. That's, you know how you have an expression that doesn't make any sense? Doves in a thunderstorm is Chinese expression for I don't understand. And I thought, in the American way, we say a lot, cleanliness is next to godliness, right? What else do we say that are expressions? Can you think of any? They're kind of hard to think up. I thought of that one. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Okay, I'll tell you where I'm going with it. Do we have any that talks about the welcome of strangers? In American culture, do we have any expression that values highly the welcome of strangers? A stranger might be an angel in disguise, and where does that come from? That comes from our Christian faith when the angels came and visited Abraham in Genesis. He entertained three angels in Genesis, and that's where that expression comes from. Do we have any other kind of thoughts or expressions that say hospitality is important? I'm not so sure we do. Except for maybe the underpinnings of America has always been the place to welcome the alien and stranger as a place to have a new start and become an American person. That's kind of in our DNA way back, is kind of this welcome. One of the things I want to talk to you about this morning, just for us to just play a bit with or think about, is I think something's shifted, and I don't think we do very much of it anymore. And I'm wondering what shifted, and that's why I wanted to talk about it. What has shifted in our culture that has made it difficult to have people in your home or to welcome in somebody you don't know and to get close to them?
So
two spouses that are working, they're really tired when they get home, and so they're resting. I know that's true. Estelle?
Maybe like a general lack of like a home space kind of thing, because like, you know, kids are going off and going to like lessons and soccer or whatever, and like parents are also in transition, and no one really has like time.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, when I was growing up, I knew all my cousins. We went to the county fair together, and we took rafters together, and we went to the lake together. And in society, like my daughter lives in Providence, my sons live in New York City, and we're over here. So that whole culture is so different. We don't have that family.
We drive kind of far to get, yeah. He did. He wrote it. I agreed with him totally.
My grandparents, you know, when they farm.
Can you hear her? Can you hear Marion? Can you talk louder? Because you're.
When my grandparents had a farm, and that was the day before motels. You were talking about earlier in our country's history, and. So anybody that came by, and the only place they could stay was at another person's home. So it was not an expectation of perfection. It was just a thankfulness to have a roof over their head. And even if they went someplace else, the door was left unlocked and provisions were left in the home. So anybody that came by could come in and stay there.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, for the night. I mean, it was great trust. And entirely different.
Okay, so if you didn't hear it, so she was just talking about, you know, when you couldn't go to a motel down the road and you lived on a farm and it was more rural, you had to stop by somebody's house or you had no place to stay, and so they prepared for welcoming a stranger. In the Old Testament, it's a command of God's to prepare to welcome the stranger. Hospitality was something that Israel was supposed to do among all of the nations of the world, and the reason they were to do it was they were to welcome up into the kingdom of God. What you're really doing in extending hospitality is the hope that they will also see God and know God and become part of your family. So the welcome is a very integral part of the Christian faith and our Christian faith. So I wanted to talk a little bit about, like, that was sort of the Old Testament. And the other thing that was interesting in the Old Testament is they also didn't just welcome they welcomed the Gentile or the other person from another nation who was seeking God and was interested in God. They also made a division to some degree that not to get too involved with people that weren't interested in God and didn't really want to know God. So there is, while we're incarnational and we bring God to the world and we reach out in hopes that they want to know Jesus, it is a special responsibility for us to reach out to people who are coming to our church or coming into our lives who are kind of seeking God and are watching you to figure out what it looks like. And our ability to live with people and walk alongside them and be present with them is really integral to them coming to know God. So one of the people that I'm so excited about is getting baptized on Sunday was a family that came together. Their kids had been converted, and the parents started to live with them and see their life and live with them for long periods of time, taking care of grandchildren, and they've just become believers, which is just a miracle to this young woman who couldn't imagine that her parents would. But she welcomed in their home, and she behaved in a Christian way, like went to church and strange things that her parents hadn't experienced. And so they have now come to God. So that welcome is like really important. So he's got like key points and concepts, and we can't go over them all because you really could have a huge study, but his concept for hospitality is Christian hospitality, as given to us in the Bible, is a sacred process of receiving outsiders and changing them from strangers to guests. So, you know, is there anybody in this room who's actually had somebody take them into their family and changed them from strangers into, you know, from strangers into family or strangers into guests? Have you ever experienced that from somebody? Molly, you're smiling at me, so you can tell me. What are you thinking?
Well, the Berbers took me in.
Okay.
After I graduated from college, and I wanted to stay. So I just went and lived with them, and, like, I knew them. But mm-hmm. I didn't, like, really know them that well, but just made me part of the family and ate dinner with them and helped out with their homework and did all family.
That's awesome. So the Verbers welcomed Molly, and she became part of their family and learned a lot from the Verbers, I imagine, and they'd probably love to learn a lot from you.
I lived back in Australia. My parents lived in the U.S., and so I found when I was back home in Australia that some of the girls that I had become friends with, their families, who were strong Christian families, welcomed me in and were my parents away from home, and I became just part of their family. And then with one family, reciprocal, like my mum nursed their son back to health when he had his appendix taken out when he was living in London and they were there. So it kind of became a reciprocal thing that my parents took care of their kids when they lived overseas in the same city, and they took care of my brother and I. And then the other family, like I look to her now, Karen, as like my Christian mum that I can go to and ask questions of her because she's a strong woman of faith. And then Beck's dad married Nick and I, and it was like having my dad marry us because he had become like that for us.
It's great. Great story. Anybody else? Kathy?
When I first met Ed, I wasn't a believer, but his mother and father were, and I went over to meet them, and I was just awestruck by her because at that time, this was 45 years ago or so, she was wearing a long dress around the home. She had flowers out. She served me tea from a little silver teapot, and she just loved me, and I fell in love with her. And she was one of the reasons why I picked Ed, because she was just such an awesome woman. And, you know, yeah, and I became a Christian through their influence. You know?
That's great. Well, that's the idea. That's the idea. So some of the drawbacks are perfectionism. Some of the drawbacks to extending hospitality are we have such high standards. I saw Martha Stewart yesterday when I was like reading this stuff on hospitality, and I went, "You're killing us, lady." You know, it was like little tiny eggs, you know, and you like had these little holes in it, and then you painted them a certain way, and I'm going, "Oh, you're killing us!" And the table's perfect, and then we have all of these TV shows that are that total home makeover, so the house has to be perfect and look like Pottery Barn when people come in. And then it's completely threatening to us to walk into somebody's house because we can't cook like that, and we can't make our house look nice like that. And then if you've got kids, you've got toys all over the floor. And so we have a lot of blocks to it. So I just really want to encourage you that don't let those blocks stop you, because that's not what people want. What do people want? They want to know other people. And if I have any diagnosis for this culture, it's lonely. We are lonely in Silicon Valley. They're lonely. You're lonely in the church. You're lonely outside of the church. That's what I hear all the time. How come nobody has us over for dinner? How come we don't just get to drop by and hang out and have dinner and get to know them and go see a movie? Do you know what I mean? Do you experience this? It's what I hear all the time. So it takes somebody to do it, and the somebody, Jesus says, is us. We are the ones that are supposed to be aliens and sojourners on this planet, headed for a new kingdom and for a banquet feast with Jesus and all of the people he calls in. We're all headed for this big family banquet. But as aliens and strangers here, our job is to be welcoming them to the banquet now. It's like a step into the kingdom of God. You are welcoming them to the banquet. And when I was studying this a little bit, I thought this other little key piece that I hadn't pondered much before, but it makes sense. Jesus, when he was here, what was Jesus like as far as hospitality? He didn't have a home. He didn't have a place to lay down his head. He didn't have any food to give people much. He had 5 loaves and 2 fishes at one point, right? When the disciples say, what do? Divide it up. Did he own a lot of things? No. Did he have a lot of money? No. What did Jesus have? Jesus had love. Jesus had an open heart. Mostly, it's about an open heart of welcome. Jesus welcomed everybody to himself. And actually, what he's showing us in his example is he functioned as the alien and stranger on this earth. He acted like the alien and stranger on this earth, whose home was a different kingdom, and he allowed people to extend hospitality to him. And what he did was he came in and sat down and ate with them. Isn't that an interesting notion? So we are, he says to us later, he goes, if you visit somebody in prison, if you visit somebody who's sick, if you do those things, you've done those to me. That's his example. That's what he means by it. He goes, I showed you how to do it. I was like that. Now you're to be like me. Open, welcoming, bringing them on in. And it doesn't matter how much you have. There's one example in the Old Testament was the widow of Zarephath, where she God tells her to feed Elijah, and she has no money, and she has no anything. And so she obeys God, and he never lets her flour and her oil run out. It's like that great miracle in the Old Testament. It kind of tells you that you don't have to be rich and you don't have to be slick. You just have to trust God and do whatever you can to be welcoming when he's put somebody in your path. So I was thinking I'm going to do really practical things that might help you a little bit. One thing that one woman did to welcome people all the time and prepare for it, because she had this mentality that she was supposed to greet and welcome people who came by, was she always had a big pot of soup on the burner in the kitchen on the weekends. Now, it didn't matter who came in or out, she had soup. She didn't have a lot of money, and she wasn't a great cook, but she could make this soup. So I have the most fantastic soup recipe you will ever, ever eat. I have this minestrone soup that I stole from a friend of mine that's so good. It doesn't cost very much money. It makes a gigantic pot. And so I thought, I'll bring that in for you guys to have. So that's one very practical thing you can do. Have a recipe, a pot of soup recipe. Anybody that comes by, you can feed them. They'll be delighted. They'll be wanting to talk to you and have soup, and it'll be like a blessing. Anybody else have a little trick that they have, something that they prepare for people? Like a soup on the table or anything?
Judy, even if you don't have a, you know, a soup on the table, we had some friends. We live in a place that not very many people stop by, but one time some friends stopped by, and they ended up sort of staying. It was sort of getting to be dinner time, and, you know, it's amazing what you can find in your cupboard. If you don't care if it's beautiful, you know, it's like, oh, there's cheese, oh, there's some crackers, oh, we can cut up some carrots, you know. And we ended up having this kind of ridiculous but really fun dinner, and we just hung out for hours, and it was a great time. But it even if we don't have that seemingly perfectly prepared thing, we all have food in our cabinets that we can put something on.
Tell the story about in India, the little lady that didn't have much that you shared with me last week. It was really good.
When we were in India, we were walking through this village. and she invited us to dinner. Well, there were 20 of us. And she had this little teeny pot of rice, which was going to be their dinner. You know, she had a family. And she didn't invite them once. She invited them multiple times. And of course, we declined it. But she was willing to give her family's dinner away so we could have something to eat. And for her, I think even though we didn't end up staying, it was just really interacting with us. You know, we came by, we spent time, they spent time talking to her, and that was, but it was just a given that she would offer their dinner and not even think about it, her family might not eat. And that's very, we see that all the time when we go to India. There's really a sense of hospitality that will do anything for you. And they will feed you their food and not eat, you know, go, oh, no, 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 you eat first, and then you notice they're not eating anything. So there's a real different sense there. Because they're really relational. And I think that's part of the key, is they're so relational, and they want to welcome you into their world.
Oh, there, here you
go. I learned hospitality from my parents. They are excellent.
Uh-huh.
And I wonder, when we go through the mission to India,
uh-huh,
we help people. So in order that they come to know God, there is no doubt about it. And I'm not going to lie to Indian people when they ask me. And the same thing when we invite people to our home, I like to do that, is that behind the story, so they can know the Lord Jesus, there is no doubt about it. I pray and pray like that. I wonder if that is all that you become hospitality to people, not because they want, you want them to become a Christian. I think God's character, whether they're becoming Christian or not, we are to practice hospitality. Just like God loves everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is essential because people will ask, oh, you invite me because you want me to hear the gospel. We have to make sure. Shoot behind our mind. But that love, God loves everybody, even though they can become Christian or not. It's God's character. So we children have to be like God, not because do we. That's what.
Well, I think that's really true. It is God's character. He also has a larger purpose,
yes,
that we are supposed to be involved with. And sometimes I think we lose track of the larger purpose that we're supposed to be involved with. We're supposed to love the world, and he has a purpose in calling them. He wants to know them.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody else? There's somebody else that had their hand up. Kathy?
I just was going to say that, you know, my husband just encourages me to not try a new recipe.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But he's really helped me to just keep it simple. Don't worry about everything being perfect. Don't, you know, it's like the more people can see your own flaws, the better they feel. So just have people over to enjoy them and don't worry about it being perfect.
I think that's funny. One day I had a girl in my Tuesday night class, didn't know anybody much, I think, and was having a baby, so we threw a baby shower for her. And that's the fun stuff you get to do in the church, is you get to throw baby showers for people that you don't know very well, but you get to be involved with the whole deal. And Valerie came over to help me, and she cleaned out my refrigerator. Valerie came over, she looked in my refrigerator, she goes, "Do you mind if I clean out your refrigerator when I'm standing here?" And I said, "No, that's fine." Now, there was a little bit in me that said, oh my gosh, my refrigerator is that dirty, but it really was that dirty, so I was really glad that Val cleaned it out for me, so that was really helpful. Anyway, there's a couple of books that I have up here, Silent Witness, The Language of Your Home, just if you want to look at them, or A Gracious Welcome, Etiquette and Ideas for Entertaining, I mean, who knows. One of the basic solid books on hospitality is a book called Open Heart, Open Home. That's been around for about 20 years. It's a real classic, and I really suggest it's by, I think Maines is her last name. If you really want to have some ideas about the concept of hospitality, she's got probably the best book that there is on it. And I just encourage all of us to remember to be hospitable. People really want to know other people, and somebody welcomed us, and Jesus welcomed us, so we need to welcome other folks. So, yeah? No.
Somebody doesn't respond to the gospel,
No, of course. The separation I talked about in the beginning, we don't talk about very much, but the Old Testament separated a little bit in the idea of if you're getting influenced by them, be careful. You know what I mean? And if you're not, then you don't have to worry about it. But we don't talk about that a whole lot. And I know at times in my life I've had to sort through what relationships are doing for me and with me as I was a little bit younger in the Lord.